Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
In sport, it was an emotionally charged weekend as the GAA commemorated the 100th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. And it was also an historic weekend on the pitch. Cavan beat the favourites Donegal to win their first Ulster title in 23 years. Tipperary beat Cork in their Munster final, handing them their first Munster title since 1935. And all four provincial winners this year are exactly the same as those who won their provinces 100 years ago when Bloody Sunday occurred. And to discuss the weekend, GAA action and the rest of the weekend sport, I'm joined by Damien Lawler, RTÉ GAA journalist. On the line, I'm joined by sports journalist Orla Bannon, and we'll get some Cavan reaction in just a moment. But first, Damien, I want to come to you. This was a really special weekend for you, first of all. Let's cut to the chase.
I suppose as a Tipperary man, I suppose, Orla, as a Tipperary man, to be involved, to be at close quarters, to see something like that, it's just incredible, really.
Well, your links go deeper than that now, because you coach some of those Tipperary lads at under 17 and under 20.
That's right. I would have been involved in, I would have been one of maybe 30, 40 people over the last few years who put their shoulder to the wheel. But I'll be honest with you, I learn more from those guys now than they would have from me. It's just a setup, really, where you have genuine people, and it's a small enough football family in Tipperary. Plenty of talent, but a lot of them are drawn towards other sports. There's no doubt about that. Certainly, though, I think maybe a huge movement came about 15 years ago, Claire, and development squads were put in. David Power and John Evans were probably at the helm of all that. And slowly Tipperary started to make strides at underage tournaments, and a target was set that by 2020 Tipperary would be competing for All-Irelands at junior, minor, at 21 and senior level. So I think they've been thereabouts in the last few years, the last two or three years, that maybe the form has slipped just a little bit, but this was an unbelievable tonic for everybody. I think the team carried the weight of history lightly yesterday. They were very, very gracious in how they dealt with the celebrations afterwards. But I just think to get over that finishing line, it's a massive psychological hurdle. And the feeling was that if they didn't do it yesterday, the chance might have slipped.
Yeah, it's great. And it's really gratifying to see a team come up through the ranks like that when there is a plan, and when it eventually works, of course, it's the best. I just want to play a clip now of the Tip star and now AFL star Colin O'Riordan. He was released by his Australian rules club for the Munster final yesterday, and happy doesn't come even close to describing his reaction.
A few weeks ago, I didn't think I'd be here, and just to be able to be out there with the lads and just giving it your all for the sake of Tipperary is just, I can't put into words. It's the best feeling. It's the best feeling I've had in many years, and just fills me with pride so much, and I get emotional even thinking about it. But to me, it's one of the best days of my life, and yeah, just over the moon.
Colin O'Riordan there. Of course, the next challenge is Mayo, the semi-final. Damien, have you high hopes?
I'd say they've scarcely processed yesterday so far, Claire. I mean, the Mayo game will be completely different, because I would feel that the shackles will be off that team completely. I felt that yesterday was a kind of a psychological battle to get over the line. And, Colin there, for example, Colin hasn't played with Tipperary for 5 years and produced an incredible performance and had to get permission from his club, Sydney Swans, to let him do that. But we would have had Colin at under-17s, but he was already an All-Ireland minor winner by the time he was 15. So he's a born leader. So so the quality of these guys coming through, they needed very little encouragement, Claire.
Well, Orla, I want to talk to you about the other big historic result at the weekend, and that was Cavan overcoming the favourites Donegal in the Ulster final. You were there.
Yeah, and just listening to Damien there first, Claire, he's like a proud dad, isn't he, this morning?
And slightly hoarse as well, Orla, but yes. I didn't want to mention that.
Yeah, but it's such a great story in Tipperary. And, Cavan, their teams have very similar stories, similar trajectories, really, when you think about it, because Cavan, like Tipperary, have been building towards us for a while. Maybe none of us imagined at all that the senior success would come this year, but they won an Ulster minor title in 2011, the year Tipperary won the All-Ireland, and then they won four under 21 Ulster titles in a row. So this was something they were building towards, hoping that finally that this would all pay off at senior level. I suppose they got to their All-Ireland quarter final a bit earlier than Tipperary. They got there in 2013 against Cavan, whereas Tipperary got there then in 2016, and I suppose the last couple of years it looked like possibly that success had stalled a wee bit, that you wondered where these young underage stars going to come through. But yeah, it was unbelievable scene yesterday. And a lot of our colleagues, Damien will laugh at this. I saw them coming into the athletic grounds and they were going, "Oh, we've picked the wrong game. We should have been down in Munster today. Or, you know, we've missed the big story." It turned out there was just an equally big story in Cavan. And they are guys too that played. They carried themselves so well. They decided that they were just going to have a cut off Donegal. They weren't going to sit back. Armagh had done that the week before. They'd stood off Donegal, had admired them. Kieran McGeaney had said his own team, Armagh, were too timid. Cavan decided, "We're not having any of this." They just went at it, and look, they threw caution to the wind. They could have conceded a few goals, but they held out, and look, it paid off. Sometimes fortune favours the brave, and that's what happened.
And emotional responses afterwards as well. Mickey Graham, the Cavan manager, he was talking to BBC TV.
"The county has been ravaged by COVID. You have some of the worst numbers in the country. I know you've spoken about this in the past, but what will today mean for Cavan people?"
Words can't describe it. You know, it's just huge. That's all I can say. Yeah, I just...
There you go. And a similar reaction, I think, from the captain, Raymond Galligan, because they have been through so much. I might bring in Hugh now at this stage. Hugh Harrigan from the Boar's Head pub in Dublin. Hugh, it was a really emotional day. And one of the reasons, not just because of the win after so long, but also because Cavan has had such a tough time with COVID.
Ah, listen, Claire, it was an unbelievable day. As you say, emotional. You know, we're a very, very proud county, you know, and no more than any other county in Ireland. Like, it has been a tough year on everybody, and the GAA has been brilliant, you know, on the weekends, you know, and I think, you know, it has brought people out, like old people that can't come out of their houses, and, like, they're watching matches, GAA matches, whether it be football or hurling, whatever, on the weekends, and, you know, for what we did yesterday, for that 40 lads on the panel was unbelievable. Like we're living in Dublin. My wife's from Cavan there as well, and crush it on.
Take your time. You know what? I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, you know, how different yesterday would have been for you in normal circumstances. The pub would have been absolutely jammed to witness such an event, wouldn't it?
Jammed yesterday, jammed last night, jammed today. Like, I'm here on my own at work at the moment, you know. I came in and, you know, you're getting a lot of calls and texts, and, like, to lift the newspaper, all the newspapers, and see us on the headlines, and, you know, the text messages, and, you know, like, from mutual supporters. And, you know, I think we were big underdogs going in there yesterday, but, like, if you ask any Cavan man all week and all year, or any Cavan person, he says, "We were always there. We were always there." And I think, you know, I got this time 2 years ago, Mickey Graham won a great Leinster championship with Mullin Yarter, and I got a text from one of the lads yesterday, and he says, "A Mickey Graham team is never bet." You know, but, like, last time we won was 23 years ago, in 1997. Like, that was our 40th Ulster title in Cavan. You know, so it'll go to show you what football means to us, you know. And, you know, Mickey and Dermot was part of that team 23 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, Dermot there in the background, I think everybody knows he's quiet and he does interviews, but by God, when he has them training and he's there along the sideline, everybody sees the passion, you know, that he has. And the same with, you know, with Mickey, and the guys get so much respect. But, like, It was great for all them young lads. Like, Raymond Galligan's a fantastic captain.
Yeah, I mean, people...
You know, and he's a great leader all year. But we had about 20 leaders there yesterday on the field. They all stood up. We got a black card. We went 7 points down. They never panicked. Then we got I said, "The referee will give us a bit of luck in the last quarter." Jesus, he gave us bad luck. Another black card. And we outscored them in that period, you know. So it was... You need luck to win matches, but believe me, there was no luck there yesterday. We were deserving champions, and, like,
well,
one of the
stories. Hugh, you talk about leaders. Let's take a listen now to the Cavan captain, Raymond Galligan.
"We had our doom and gloom over the last number of months with COVID. It's been fantastic. Members of my own parish have passed away, and my own community have
had a lot of hurt, but it's just, I hope we put a smile on everybody's face back home today by winning. So that's for everybody today at home.
Gosh, it's nearly catching me hearing that, Hugh.
You've caught me there again. Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't realise Raymond got married last year. He's married to a Donegal lady, so I don't know where he was. That was going out last week. But listen, it was great. Raymond has been great. Do you know what I mean? And he has a cousin there on the same Tomas, and I don't know whether we call him Thomas the Tank or what we do with him, you know, but like, I was lucky there too, of course, with our people from our own club in there on the panel, mm-hmm. from Arv and Anne at Crushalaw, and like, I think, like, living here in Dublin, like, even I think there's people around Dublin here getting sick of me wearing around me calf and top, you know, but like, even going through the park, the Phoenix Park yesterday, people shouting at me, come on Cavan and this and this, you know, just before the match, because I think everybody has clung on to the GAA this weekend and this year, and then it being a knockout, every game is an All-Ireland final.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think the GAA should look at this now, you know, because every team has to go for it. Like, you take Tipperary there, you know, yesterday as well, and then ourselves, like, and it's, you're going back to 1920 all over, you know, and I texted a few Tipperary friends of mine yesterday morning, and I said, now lads, I says, we'll have no bother, it's up to yous. So the text wasn't too long about coming back after the Tipperary game, you know.
And of course, your own pub is steeped in GAA history, and it was a really significant weekend. And the winners of the All-Ireland always stop off for a pint, don't they, Hugh, the morning after the win?
Yeah, like, we're blessed to have that tradition. Like, and, you know, I love to see them, love to see the All-Ireland champions coming in, you know. And I've got, we're a great organisation, the GAA, and it's, you know, to see, like, you have lads there from different counties coming in, whether Dublin, Kerry, Donegal, you know, Longford, lads, everything all over the place. But to have the All-Ireland champions the next day coming in, it's a great honour for Anne and myself.
And what hopes do you have that it'll happen this year?
Oh, listen, because there's always hope. And if you talk to anybody from Cavan, you have Damien O'Reilly in there. Damien was with Northern Sound when we won in 97. You know, and I seen pictures of the video of him leaping around the place yesterday evening too. And I think, you know, it would have been gas if you had to look into any window of any house in Cavan yesterday. The scenes and sitting rooms and everything, watching televisions. That was...
Hugh, we'll let you go. Thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations again to Cavan.
Much,
it was a great weekend.
Thank you.
Damien and Orla, back to you. Will you look ahead now at what will happen? And also, just address that point, Damien, I'll take you first on this. You know, the knockout element of this has given it all an extra edge.
Yeah, for sure it has. I think that maybe in the next year or two, with COVID looming, Claire, that we're looking at a compact championship next year, for example. But I do believe, from what I'm told, there will be one backdoor, one qualifier system as well. I think that we're reaching a juncture, maybe in the GAA, Claire, over the next year or two, where a split season is going to come in. You're going to have a defined period for inter-county and a defined period for a club. And do you invest so much in the inter-county game just for one match, And it's all over? Mm-hmm. I'm still not so sure. I think yesterday was fantastic. It was, listen to Hugh there, he's got the box of Kleenex beside him and I'd say he could go off at any second now. But like, that's what it does to people. I mean, yesterday drove us all mad, to be honest with you. It's just such a privilege to see that. But how can you have counties training for so long for just one game either? Mm-hmm. Now, equally, the likes of the Super 8s, Claire, that system in my eyes is redundant, because so it's a happy medium to be found by both.
Okay.
That's where I stand on it.
Yeah. Orla, will we take a look ahead now? Dublin face Cavan, Mayo face Tipperary. A lot of talk about Dublin, and you know, I think it's fair to say that they annihilated Meath in the Leinster final. What do you see happening in the semis?
You know what? I don't even think it really matters today. I mean, when you were there yesterday and saw the emotion for Cavan after, you know, a thoroughly deserved win and what it meant to them. And they said it didn't even matter to them that they didn't really have the... Obviously, they would have loved the fans to be there, but it meant so much to them. And they deserve time, both themselves and Tip, to bask in that glory before we really look ahead. But I suppose, you know, we hate to keep bashing the Leinster teams and saying, you know, get your house in order. But really, that was a humiliation for me the other night. And I'm sure when they saw... what happened the next day, it can only have made it worse mm-hmm. for them. Look, I noticed with interest Peter Canavan saying he thinks it's unfair that the All-Ireland semi-final should be played in Croke Park. It's yet another advantage for Dublin. Why are we playing it there this year, he says, when there's no fans anyway? But obviously it will be played there. You know what, Cavan will just go out with a smile on their face, as they have done all throughout. I've actually been at all both their league games and all their championship games, so I've seen them the last 6 weeks in a row, and I've watched them evolve on this journey. And you know, they were like 7 points down the first day against Monaghan. They looked absolutely beaten after just coming off back-to-back relegations. They turned that one round brilliantly. They were at one stage 10 points down against Down. I think they were 8 points down at half-time. Turned it around yesterday. That early black card that Hugh talked about, they were outscored 7 points to one. Second black card, they came back in the second half, outscored Donegal when they had a man down. So, like, you know, they will just go out with a smile on their face. Mickey Graham wants them to express themselves and have a go. He said he's not interested okay. in sort of moral victories or trying to keep the score tight. He wants his teams to go out and play and have a go. And whatever happens against Dublin, no one will give them a prayer, of course, but they will just go out and they'll have a go, and we'll see
all
how
right.
far
well,
that
look,
takes.
Well, look, I think the day belongs to Cavan and to Tipperary today. We'll leave it there for now. Damien Lawler and Orla Bannon and Hugh Harrigan from the Boar's Head joining us as well from Capel Street.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.